Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sabidam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Vrishabhana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Today, Canto 9, Chapter 24, entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 65. So, please repeat. Yashyananam. Yashyanam. Makara. Kundala. Charu. Karna. Brajjat. Kapola. Subhagam. Savilasa. Hasham Nidyutsavam Na Chatripur Drishibihi Pibantyo Narko Sorry, Naryo Narascha Muditaha Kupita Yameshcha Yashyananam makara kundala charu karna Brajat kopula sabhagam vivala sahasam Nidyot savam na tatripur drisibi pipancho Nakyo narascha mudita kupita nimescha So, word for word, please repeat. Yasya, whose, ananam, face, makara kundala charu karna, decorated by earrings resembling sharks, and by beautiful ears. Brajat, brilliantly decorated. Kapula, forehead. Subhagam, declaring all opulences. Savila sahasam, with smiles of enjoyment. Nitya utsavam, whenever one sees him, one feels festive. Natatrupu, they could not be satisfied. Disibihi, by seeing the form of the Lord. Pibantya, as if drinking through the eyes. Naryaha, all the women of Vrindavan. Naraka, all the male devotees. Cha, also. Muditaha, fully satisfied. Kupitaha, angry. Nimekaha, the moment they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes. Cha, also. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of the eyes. Please repeat, Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by momentary blinking of their eyes. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatiti Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhyanam Kaschimam Viti Tatpataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Among the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan is especially to be noted. That relationship is described in this verse by the words Nidyutsavam na trippitor drishibhi pipanchaha. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially, such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavan saw Krishna almost every moment, but when Lord Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought that Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not place on their breasts because they thought their breasts not soft enough, were being pierced by broken chips of stone. Even thinking of this, the gopis were affected, and they cried at home. These gopis were therefore exalted, the exalted friends of Krishna saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids were disturbed, because their eyelids disturbed the vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the Creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of the ninth canto, in the 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considers Krishna's head. The entire Srimad Bhagavat Puran is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face, with his cheeks, his lips, the ornaments in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts, all this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face. But instead they condemned the creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than his friends, the cowherd boys, or even Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. So, very sweet purport. Introduction to the 10th canto. Mukham karoti vachalam pongam laite grim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurun dinatarinam yasinanam makarakundala charu karna vrajat kupula subhagam savala sahasam nidyotsavam na trittupur disibe pibantyo naro narasna mudita kupita nimescha. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see, but the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. So this is the bhava of the gopis. They are so intensely fixed upon Krishna, and that even when they blink their eyes, something which we never really perceive, they criticize the Creator, Lord Brahma, for creating eyes that need blinking eyelids. So we can contemplate that point. Such is their bhava, such is their prema. They are so intensely fixed upon Krishna that even a moment like the blinking of an eyelid is a disturbance. So this shows the intensity of Krishna prema, this bhava, prema bhava. It is unlimited and it intensifies eternally. So here the gopis are introducing us to the beauty of Krishna, because this intensity of attraction to Krishna is because Krishna's attractiveness is unlimited. And the more one meditates upon the beauty of Krishna, the more one becomes attracted, the more one perceives. If you can consider, we see even in this material world, of course Vrindavan is spiritual, we see so much beauty. Beautiful sunset, beautiful sunrise, beautiful trees, beautiful people, beautiful sound, so on and so forth. But Krishna, and particularly Krishna's face, is like the concentration. It is the source of all that beauty. So often we think of Krishna, unlimited power, Narayan, Vishnu, unlimited potency to create. But the most attractive of the opulences, the six opulences, are beauty, virya, strength, renunciation, opulence, fame, and knowledge, that is embodied in Krishna's face, particularly. Even in this material world, somebody may have a beautiful form, but if the face is not beautiful, that person is not really considered handsome or beautiful. But if the face is beautiful, then that can override any other defects in the form. And that's it, just in the material world. But of course, as is explained here, Krishna's beauty is not just in his face, it is in his form, his attitude, his behavior. Therefore, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, that which pulls, that which attracts. So the prime name of the Supreme Person is Krishna, because he is all attractive. He is all attractive in himself, and he is attractive to all, because we are Angsa. We are Angsa of Krishna. So those people like Srila Prabhupada, the great acharyas and devotees generally, they become attractive because by their bhajan, their concentration upon Krishna, which is exemplified here by the gopis, they also become beautiful people, right? In the old days, there used to be a pop song. How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people? So the devotees of Krishna, they are the most beautiful people, because by meditating upon Krishna, their quality of beauty, which is also inherent in the soul. Every soul is beautiful. In the spiritual world, everyone has a beautiful form. Everyone is attractive. So the devotees, even in the period of sadhana, they also become beautiful. And they manifest beautiful qualities and a beautiful behavior. Of course, in the period of sadhana, there may be some inebrieties, this and that. But we should not focus upon that. We should focus like on the beauty of people. And that will draw the goodness out of each other, right? If you respond to people's bad behavior, then you are also part of the equation. You will bring bad behavior. But if you focus on their good quality, like Krishnamurti, he always focuses on good qualities in people, then that will give them confidence and they will develop also. Just like children, they develop through affection. Just like trees and plants, they develop through sunlight. So the spiritual master, the great Vaishnavas, they develop their disciples and the Vaishnava assembly by their beauty. And the Vaishnavas, the particular quality of the Vaishnavas, the particular quality that the Vaishnavas embody and display is kripa, mercy. So the Vaishnavas are the kripa incarnation or manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And out of their mercy and kindness, the devotees awaken to spiritual life. So then, by the grace of the Guru, under the direction of the Guru, the sadhaka learns the art of fixing the consciousness, manmana bhavabad bhakto, on Krishna, in devotion. And then he learns madhyaji, to do everything as an offering to Krishna. That is bhajan. And at the same time, mam namaskuru, to be very humble, to never consider I am very highly qualified. And these qualities are natural to the soul. These qualities are beautiful. Prabhupada, on one tape, he gives the example that if somebody is very talented, say they're a great pianist or a great musician, but they're proud, then that person is not particularly attractive. And also, in a subtle form, the pride of that person, say somebody is playing piano, and is playing piano in a proud way, I'm displaying my skill. In a subtle form, that pride will enter into the sound he is producing. But a great artist is full of bhava and humility, and that mood will enter into his music. So the devotees, they have a sense of humility that is inherent in the soul. Krishna is also unlimited humility. He is unlimited beauty, but unlimited humility. And this sweetens his beauty, as is described here. And so confirmed. And so the gopis are completely entranced in this beauty. Huh? But Krishna is not a proud or person, I am the Supreme Lord. Sometimes in this material world, people talk about a materialist and say, oh, he thinks he's God. Right? But actually, God is not proud. When people say that, he thinks he's God, they mean, oh, he thinks he's a great big man and this and that. And they transpose their own mistaken ideas onto God. But actually, God is the most humble. All the qualities of Krishna are unlimited. His beauty is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. His humility is unlimited. And therefore, this quality of humility, which is natural, sweetens all the opulences of Krishna. Sri Sri Gornitashi Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Radhisham Sundar, Lalit Vishaka, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhan, Tulsi Maharani, Gomata Ki Jai. So, in this sloka here, we see that. And so we should be very careful to develop this vision. In the material world, the material energy is dead matter. So we tend to have, and also because the materialist, of course, is disconnected from Krishna by his attitude. So therefore, he also becomes impersonal. And that is the conditioning in the material world. Even when people take to spiritual life, they very quickly assume impersonal ideas. That spirit is the opposite of matter, matter is full of variety, therefore spirit is kind of a oneness. It is a kind of light, it is a consciousness. But consciousness has a root, it has a shelter. And that is the person. Just like, the absolute is energy. But energy is not just flying in the sky. Electricity is an energy, but it is rooted in what? The power station. It is not just independent. This microphone is working by electricity, but only because it is connected to the electric station, the generating station. So all the opulences, all the manifestations in the material world, Sutri Mani Gana Iva, is connected to Krishna. So when the devotee gives up impersonal conditioning, materialistic conditioning, and he meditates upon the form of Krishna, and particularly the attractive beauty of Krishna, then his personal nature wakes up. The goal of Krishna consciousness is Swarup Siddhi, to develop our own spiritual form, but that is developed in relationship, in concordance with our realization of Krishna's form. Naam Rupa Guna Leela. So Krishna's form, we can use these slokas, and today's sloka is famous sloka. Prabhupada quotes it many times, many acharyas quote this sloka. That the gopis, they see the beauty of Krishna, but what has Lord Brahma done? He's made eyes that need eyelids that blink. This is a mistake. So you can understand the intensity of their devotion. In the period of sadhana, we have to practice this. We have to practice this. We have to practice meditating upon the form of Krishna. And so therefore, these slokas are there to enthuse us and guide us. And so when we're chanting Naam Rupa, first when we chant we feel the presence of Krishna, and then automatically the Rupa of Krishna will appear within the mind when we're chanting, when we're doing our own bhajan. Then we will understand the qualities of Krishna, and then we will be able to understand the Leela of Krishna. So, this is the apex of spiritual understanding. As Prabhupada in the purport, he quotes Krishna 7.3 from the Gita. Manushyanam Shahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhyanam kaschim mam vedi tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Now, I remember when I first read this sloka, I thought, that sounds a bit peculiar. Out of many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection. That is understandable. In the material world, people are just trying to lord it over the material world, material energy, and enjoy it in some sensual way. But the devotees, or the spiritually awakened, they put their attention upon spirit. So it says here, one out of many thousands, one may attempt to realize transcendence. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So if they have achieved perfection, why aren't they knowing Krishna? Because that is the ultimate perfection. But if you read the purport, then you will find what Krishna is explaining, explained by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada explains that yes, many people, they may attempt or enter into spiritual life, but because they do not have full understanding or attachment to the name, form, quality and pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Person, they may enter into a more Brahmavadi conception. Brahmavadi means everything is spirit, that everything is energy, everything is consciousness. That is Brahmavadi. Brahma means supreme, that which is supreme, Vadi. So Brahmavadi is different from Mayavadi. The Mayavadi, because of adherence to the teachings of Shankaracharya in a distorted way, they don't see everything as supreme. They see everything as particularly the variety in the material world, everything as illusion. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mitya. That only the supreme, the spirit, is truth, and that is without variety. And that this variety, this is illusion. So the acharyas have defeated this. Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya. Madhvacharya wrote a nice book, Mayavadi Satadustini, 100 arguments defeating the Mayavad idea. So they are offenders, like Prakashananda Saraswati before he got the grace of Mahaprabhu. Because they dismiss the form of Krishna as an illusion. They say that when this oneness of energy comes in contact with the material energy, that creates the form of Krishna, it creates the form of Surya, the form of Durga. So they say that the spiritual energy is interacting with the material energy and creating different forms. But this is all illusion. But this is just word jugglery, huh? Because they are here, Shankaracharya, he redefined certain Vedic terms expressed in the Vedas to suit his philosophy. That's the example. You may say everything is illusion, okay. Oh, we call it illusion. But it's still something practical that we have to deal with. You may say salt and sugar, it's all illusion. But you have to practically distinguish between salt and sugar. If you go to the chai shop and you put salt in your tea, you'll have a different result than if you put sugar. Not that I'm recommending you go to the chai shop. But we have to practically deal with the variety of the material world. So whether we call it existing or illusion is just a matter of definition or just wordplay. So this is one of the arguments that Madhvacharya gives. And of course, you are saying that it's all one, but wherefrom has the variety come? This is also another argument. But the fact is that the form and beauty that we and variety that we see expressed, even within the material energy, as we said earlier, that is rooted, that is connected, like the microphone is connected to the power station. So everything, sutri mani gana iva, everything is resting upon Krishna's energy, just like pearls are strung upon a thread. So therefore, whenever we see someone, that is also in the Gita, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tattat evava gacchatvam myasamba myatejo sambhava. That no Arjuna, this is Krishna in the opulence of the Absolute. He explains, just know Arjuna, that whatever you see in this material world, whatever beauty and opulence you see, just know that it is a single spark of my splendor. So everything is rooted upon Krishna, everything can be traced. So when we see, Krishna is telling Arjuna that, whenever you see power, opulence, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, you should understand that this is Krishna's potency manifesting in this way, through this person, through this sunset, through this beautiful person. And in that way, become Krishna conscious within the material world. And therefore, as we said before, we can understand all the beauty in this material world, of all the planetary systems, and this is one of many millions and trillions of universes floating in the causal ocean. All that beauty, that is just a spark of Krishna's beauty. So when we hear this sloka, we can understand that Krishna's beauty, particularly manifest and described here in his face, is the concentration of all beauty, right? And it is, like we say, sweetened. But, so the people who take to spiritual life, Prabhupada in the purport, he explains, they become perfect. Perfect in the sense that they realize that they're not the material body. And Prabhupada in the purport to that 7.3, he explains that they are jnana yogis or jnana yogis. They're not mayavadis, because Rishabhdev says, Mahatmana Dvoram Aho Vimuktes, that the Mahatma is the gateway to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada translates there that the Mahatma is the personalist and also the impersonalist. But that is a reference to the Brahmavadi. Because the Brahmavadi sees, yes, everything is the manifestation of Supreme. But he has not yet progressed to the form of Krishna. So he is seeing everything as Supreme Spirit. So that is a level of perfection. So that is the understanding of this verse. Of those who have achieved perfection, understanding the spiritual nature of everything, they are also perfect, because understanding that, with that realization, they become detached from material sensuality. It doesn't, they have to deal with the body functions and all that, but their mind is now fixed upon even just the Brahmavadi conception, the spiritual conception, and even that impersonal conception or energy conception of spirit is enough to detach them from spirit, from matter. But that is the special function of Lord Chaitanya, is to bring forward from the Vedas the form of Krishna as being the supreme object of meditation. So like I say, particularly slokas like this, we can conjure that up within our mind. It is called Manasamurti. Install it, that form of Krishna within the heart, upon the lotus of the heart. And we can chant and offer flowers to that form, Manasa Seva. And that will take us gradually on the path of realization. And then as we realize Krishna, we will realize our own relationship with Krishna and automatically become detached from material affection. This is the path of sadhana. But it is important that because we have come from the material energy and our spiritual conceptions are less, that in the period of sadhana, in a regulated way, we practice this meditation upon the form of Krishna. And that is what the Gayatri mantras are for, three times a day. We should chant the Gayatri mantras with the conception of the form of Krishna, particularly. It should become a habit. Habit is second nature. So we shouldn't just recite our Hare Krishna mantra or our mantras with an impersonal recitation. We should try and conjure up the form of Krishna and make our bhajan an offering to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is what we learn from this sloka. And also we see how the Bhagavatam, 9th canto, is leading to the 10th canto. And that is the beautiful face of Krishna. The 11th canto is considered the peacock feather, or 12th, and the hair. So here we can understand how the Bhagavatam is constructed. Prabhupada also makes reference to that in the purport, that it is progressive and it is leading up to the smiling of face of Krishna, which is the 10th canto. So, for example, in the 9th canto, in earlier cantos, Vishnu and his interaction with Ruva Maharaj, Nrisingadev interacting with Prahlad Maharaj. But in the 9th canto, central topic is Lord Ramchandra. And so the Supreme Personality is described, elucidated, and he has a consort. But his consort is Swakiya Ras, married relationship. So this concept, it is much less there in Nrisingadev and in Vishnu. But here we find the Swarup Shakti of the Supreme Personality coming forward as Sita Devi. But the relationship is in Swakiya, married. So this is introducing to the reader of the Bhagavatam the fact that the Supreme Lord, he has a beloved consort. And he also, but this is further developed then in the 10th canto, where we see Parakiya Ras, unwedded love. Parakiya, paramour love, is coming forward as Krishna and his Vrindavan Leela. And then we see in the, this is like an introduction, I believe this is the last chapter. This is an introduction to the intensity of the Brajavasis. And that is very important. So, today is also the disappearance of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So, we should speak on him. So I have a very nice book here. It has a synopsis of all the lives of all the great acharyas. And of course no such book would be complete without Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So, this section starts with Anangamanjari Vasit Sadya Gopala Bhattakaha Bhatta Goswami Nam Kechit Aho Shri Guna Manjari. She who was formerly Anangamanjari has appeared to enrich pastimes of, Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Some say that Gopal Bhatta is actually Guna Manjari. So this is from the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika that was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. That describes who the associates of Mahaprabhu were in Krishna Leela also. So it's very interesting. She who was formerly Ananga Manjari appeared as Gopal Bhatta. Some say that Gopal Bhatta is actually Guna Manjari. So this is a point of discussion. Ananga Manjari is the Swarup Shakti of Baladev. Krishna has his Swarup Shakti, Sri Radha. So Baladev, his first expansion, Purusha Tattva, his Swarup Shakti is Ananga Manjari. Baladev is Adi Guru. One of his functions is to teach, to draw people towards Krishna. So Guru Shakti is Ananga Manjari. But here we see, but generally it is explained also in Gaudiya culture that Ananga Manjari appeared as Janavi Ma, the wife of Nityananda Prabhu. But here we see Guna Manjari is also defined as Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So all Vaishnavas carry Ananga Manjari Shakti, Guru Shakti. Because the Vaishnava Shakti, Guru Shakti, is that particular, the Guru Shakti is that Shakti which teaches and trains the devotee. So if you read Ananga Manjari Samputika, Narahari Thakur, Narahari Sakur, he explains there that when a devotee under Guru Shakti, when his training is developed and complete, Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Sri Radha in Vrindavan, then she introduces, "Oh, Sri Radha, now this devotee is fully developed. You engage this devotee in the Braj Leela." And that is actually the methodology. That under the shelter of Guru, Guru Shakti and Ananga Manjari, we become trained and taught and developed in spiritual life, and then we become introduced to Sri Radha, Vrindavan Ishwari, Bhakti Devi, and she engages us thereby in the Braj Leela. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, of course, he became one of the six Goswamis. Here it is explaining, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami appeared in 1500 AD as the son of Venkata Bhat in the town of Sri Rangam. The brother of Venkata Bhat is Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is Tangavidya. Tangavidya is one of the Astamanjaris. She, Tangavidya. So she is particularly expert in Shastric knowledge. When of course they are expansions of Radha, but whenever Radharani or Lalita Shakti, they want some Shastric definition or some knowledge, they refer to Tangavidya, because she's a great pandit in the scriptures. So Prabodhananda Saraswati is the brother of Venkata Bhat, the father of Gopal Bhatta. According to Narahari, in his Bhakti Ratnaka, Mahaprabhu gave Gopal Bhatta a dream vision through which he could witness all his Navadvip pastimes. And this is particularly important because in his Leela, Gopal Bhatta was very disturbed to see Mahaprabhu, the object of his worship, in the form of a sannyasi. He didn't like to see Mahaprabhu in the austere practices of sannyas. So this disturbed him. He wanted to see Mahaprabhu comfort. So therefore, he was given the vision of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Leela, where he is a householder, where he has Sachi Devi, Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya, all the pastimes in Sri Rangam, and he's living amongst his friends. He's not wandering in the world alone, so to speak. So this satisfied the heart of Gopal Bhatta. So then, this is very, yes, Lord's teachings to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This is very important. In 1510, Mahaprabhu made his entrance into Sri Rangam. That's the place of Ranganath. I've been to that temple a few times. It's the biggest temple in India. And that is the place of Venkata Bhat. Because the village that Gopal Bhatta appeared is just a few miles. And the family of Gopal Bhatta, his descendants, is still there in Sri Rangam. So the first time I went there was in 73. Second time was in the early 80s. And I went to the temple, it was in the afternoon, and then I knew that there was a temple of Mahaprabhu round the back of the temple. You know, the Sri Rangam, they have many walls, courts. So round the back is the temple of Mahaprabhu, and that temple is still worshipped by the descendants of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. There's Mahaprabhu is there alone, just Mahaprabhu, in a nice mandap, and you can take darshan there. And I was very fortunate when I went there. The pujari took me. The pujari was actually a descendant of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and so they took me to their house, and they fed me prasad. And they're the descendants of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Very wonderful people. Very big and strong. You know, South Indian Brahmin body, beautiful lotus, almond-shaped eyes, aquiline nose, but very graceful and very beautiful, and very sweet, very humble. And they took me and fed me prasad, and they insisted that I stay the night. I stayed the night. The next day I went to Mangalati, and they were very wonderful. They treated me so nicely. And yeah, I can just see them now. I remember after the prasad, they said, "No, you must stay here." And the women were in one section of the house and they were in another section. And they said, "No, you sit on the couch, you take rest there." And then I thought, oh, they all just slept on the floor. That's all the men of the family just... Of course, they had no nonsense television or anything. They made me sit on one of the sofas and have a sleep. And they just lay down on the floor about 8:30 and went to sleep. all the men. And in fact, they made me feel very comfortable and welcome. And when I told them the next day I was going after Mangalati, they were very sad. "No, you must stay." They were genuinely welcoming. So anyway, they were converted to the worship of Radha Krishna. Of course, Sri Rangam is the place of Ranganath. When you go there, Ranganath is lying on his side with a big smiling, welcoming face. And at the Mangalati, I remember I paid my obeisances, and then suddenly the elephant, they bring in a cow and they put the backside of the cow towards the deity. Because the back side of the cow is the pure cow. The front side of the cow is not considered pure because the cow was cursed by Sita. Because when Sita was once looking for Ramchandra, she asked a cow, and the cow said she'd already been told by Ramchandra, "Don't tell Sita where I am." And the cow, "I don't know where it is." So Sita found that out and said, "Oh, you told me a lie. So you will have you will eat impure things." And the cow was distressed. So then Sita Devi said, "But at the same time, everything that your stool and urine will become pure." So this is how the cow, you see often they eat maybe, unfortunately, rubbish things. But the stool and urine of a cow, and this is all the interaction with Sita Devi. Anyway, so Oh, 9 o'clock. Anyway, the important point is, you can read it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that they, the family of Gopal Bhatta, they were worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And Mahaprabhu said, because that is a conception amongst the Ramanujas, that Krishna is an avatar of Lakshmi Narayan. And one of their arguments is that Narayan is Ajna. He's not born in the material world, so this is proof that he is superior, and he is the source of Nrisimhadev and Vishnu and Krishna. But Mahaprabhu countered that argument. He said, what about Lakshmi Devi? He said, yes, we accept Radha as none different from Lakshmi Devi, and Krishna as none different from Narayan. But we consider Narayan the source of Krishna and Lakshmi the source of Radha. So Mahaprabhu said, well, tell me about the meditation of Lakshmi Devi. She wanted to meet Krishna in Vrindavan, in Belvan, across the Jamuna, outside the forest of Vrindavan, across the Jamuna from Keshigat. And she performed austerities, but she couldn't enter into the Leela of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu explained, because she was meditating upon Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence, which is her sthayibha, which is her mood. And Mahaprabhu went on to explain that in Narayan we see 2.5 rasa. That means we see of the 5 primary rasa, we see neutrality, friendship, and we also see some fraternity. But we don't see Vatsalya Bhav and Madhurya Bhav in the relationship of the worshippers of Narayan towards Narayan. But that is fully expressed with the 7 secondary rasas in the relationship of the devotees to Vrindavan Krishna. So Mahaprabhu explained all this in detail, and it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then the descendants, the parents, the family of Gopal Bhatta Goswami understood by the grace of Mahaprabhu, and they became worshippers of Radha Krishna. And so therefore that temple round the back of Sri Rangam, outside the walls, is there of Mahaprabhu, and they worship Radha Krishna. So sometimes that idea is there amongst the Ramanujas particularly, that Narayan is the source of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi. But we should not disturb the bhava of other Vaishnavas. Different sampradayas, they are carrying different rasas and bhavas, and we should not become argumentative about these details. But the particular contribution of Mahaprabhu and the 6 Goswamis is to bring forward the position of Sri Krishna as being the ultimate avatari, the source of all the avatars. And therefore, when Prabhupada translated Parampurush, that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, it means that. That Nrisimhadev is one of the personalities of Godhead. Ramchandra is one of the personalities of Godhead. Vishnu, Narayan, is one of the personalities of Godhead. But when the supreme personality is Brajanandan Krishna, Radha Krishna, they are the supreme. So Mahaprabhu and Gopal Bhatta, they established that. Gopal Bhatta, he gave, in collaboration with Sanatana Goswami, they created and wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Also the Satsandarbhas, Jiva Goswami, he expanded the original writings of Gopal Bhatta to create the Satsandarbhas. And also he wrote the Satkriya Dipika, which is a enumeration of different Vaishnav sacraments, ritualistic yajnas. He wrote that. So his contribution is unlimited. And of course we understand, we all know the story of Radharaman. He was worshipping the Shalagram. And he was thinking, I want to see the form of Krishna. One merchant had given him so many Shringar. So he had 12 Shalagrams. And he went to sleep that night. And in the morning he woke up. And the Damodar Shila had manifest the form of Radharaman. And those other 11 Shilas, Shalagram Shilas, are in the Samadhi of Gopal Bhatta downtown near Radharaman. You can see them. So the Radharaman Goswamis, they don't celebrate the disappearance of Gopal Bhatta Goswami in an elaborate way, because that is considered a very sober occasion, the disappearance. But we can go and we should remember Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and we can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita his Leela, so on and so forth. And so this is very fitting, that this sloka and Gopal Bhatta, because Gopal Bhatta, through his writings, the six Goswamis, they brought out this position of Prajnanandan Krishna as the supreme source, the supreme personality of Godhead. So thank you all very much for your kind attention. We'll finish at this point because we have to move on with taking prasad, which is a very nice thing to move on to. So thank you all very much. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prajnanandan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.